Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Hello, Mark German.
Hello, how are you, my brother?
Very well, thank you. How are you, Mark?
I'm good. And yourself, brother?
Well, thank you, man. I cannot complain. God has been good, definitely. I hope that he's been good to you, too.
Yeah, obviously. It's been good to all of us.
Lovely, lovely. Now, I know there's a belief that among many Christians, and those that were not Christian, that fires of hell are eternal, meaning the wicked will burn for eternity. Now, this sounds like the punishment of a cruel, sadistic dictator, which we know our God is not. Now, so the question remains, how long will then hell burn? So please do tell us about what today's lesson teaches us about how long hell is going to burn.
Well, just as you have put it, many churches in the world today teach and have made a number of many people to believe that the fires of hell will burn forever, which means those who die in their wickedness will be burning eternally. And sadly, many have bought this theory. Because they are told that this is what the scriptures teach. But when we look at the scriptures, we find that this is not true. This is not true because our God, just like you said, is a God who is not willing that any should perish. Mm. And how it pains God to see someone perishing is an evidence that God will not allow people to burn forever or burn in hell. But the question to be raised is, why do people get the courage? Where do people get the courage to teach and believe that hell will be burning forever? Those who are destroyed at the end of the world, as we saw in yesterday's lesson, will burn forever. Where do they get that? So we have some verses in the Bible which are misunderstood, and the people, because they have misunderstood those verses, end up misapplying them. That's why we have this teaching, this belief that those who are destroyed by the fire will be burning for eternity. Mm. So, for instance, we have Second Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 7, where the Bible says, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, those who do not obey the gospel, meaning those who are lost, shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Now, if you notice the expression, the everlasting destruction, that one people have translated to mean, okay, if you are burning in hell, you'll be burning forever and ever. The flames will just keep on going. But if you listen carefully to the verse, it says, shall be punished with everlasting destruction, not everlasting fire. So the phrase destruction, everlasting destruction, is not the same as everlasting torment. Rather, it simply means the destruction that lasts forever, eternal death. And the effect of the everlasting destruction is everlasting death, not an ending torment. And also, when we look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 10, verse 28, he told the disciples and those people who gathered around about him to say, okay, do not be afraid of those who destroy the body and afterward have nothing to do. Rather, I'll show you whom to fear, and that is God. Because after destroying the body, he has also the power to destroy the soul. And according to Jesus in that verse, what he is simply trying to tell is that both the soul and the body are killed. In other words, destroyed in hell. And on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus preached a sermon, he talked about the fate of humanity at the end of the age. And he spoke of the narrow gate, which leads to life. It is narrow. And the broad road, which is just too huge, which is not that tough, that road leads to destruction. So it's what Jesus is trying to say. There is a contrast between life and non-life, or death, which is destruction. Not necessarily eternal torment, as people put it. And also in the John chapter 3, verse number 16, one of the famous texts in the Bible, we see Jesus telling those people, I mean, the Bible telling us that God gave him a begotten son, that whoever believed in him might not perish, but have in everlasting life. So again, here we see two faces being contrasted, perishing and eternal life. So there is eternal life and there is utter destruction of the wicked.
Mm-hmm.
And from these biblical texts, we can all together conclude that what the Bible is saying, there is eternal life, the gift of life to those who have obeyed God during this time,
mm-hmm.
and the total destruction of those who did not live up to the standard that the standards that God set for them. And so the purpose of this lake of fire halo is to eradicate sin forever. And just as we mentioned yesterday, God is not willing to destroy people. And if we would understand what kind of God we serve, how pitiful, compassionate, and loving he is, we'll come to the place where we say, surely this compassionate God will not stand to see those who created, those who have been misled by Satan, those who have been found wanting, being tormented forever and ever. And for our own information, if we are, for example, let's say we are burning some garbages in our homes and the fire ends, you'll discover that sometimes there are residues there. There are some garbages that have not been consumed by fire utterly or completely.
Mm.
And now the Bible describes that those who are lost will be like destroyed everlasting or forever. It does not necessarily mean the people will be burning forever, but rather it is trying to say the people who are found with sin, those who have not lived up to the standards that God set on them while on earth, will be destroyed utterly. And the word utterly means completely. And this is the fire that will burn that which has to be burnt. Unlike the garbages, which at the end of the fire, we find that there are some residues, this fire will make sure that everything is brought to ashes.
Mm.
That's why Jesus in Matthew 3, verse number 12, said that fire will be unquenchable. Not necessarily mean it will burn forever. Rather, it will burn forever. Rather, it is trying to say that fire will make sure that everything is brought to ashes. And so the part of destroying the earth with fire and the purpose behind it is to eradicate sin forever, utterly, so that sin will never exist and its originator will end there forever and ever. That's why in Revelation chapter number 20, 21, we see God promising the new earth and the new heavens that will be inhabited by humanity, and there will no longer be sin, and there will no longer be the originator of sin, which happens to be the devil himself.
Man, beautiful, beautiful, you know, scenery that you're painting for us for the end times. Now, the events surrounding the final punishment, you know, when the final last punishment happens, how is that going to happen?
Pardon?
The final punishment. Isn't it that the hellfire will be burning, and after that fire burns, is there any other further punishments that happen?
No, just like I described yesterday, to say at a close of 1,000 years, we saw that Jesus is coming to this earth soon, and those he finds righteous, he will take to heaven.
Mm.
Those who were dead, righteous, will be risen, and they will go to heaven and stay there for 1,000 years, where they will just not sit and relax, but as part of their duty, they will judge the dead. In other ways, they will be able to understand why some of the people we have known on earth have not made it to heaven. So at the expiry of 1,000 years, Christ will return to this earth. And as he is returning, he will raise those who died in sin together with the greatest enemy, the devil himself. And as the devil tries to gather those people who died in their sin to fight God's kingdom that is coming down with the redeemed, this is where the fire comes down to consume them. We can find the evidence of this in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 9, where the Bible says, fire came down from God out of heaven and it devoured them. So this is now the complete destruction. And according to Jesus, this fire, like I said, is unquenchable. So God promises a new earth, and this will be the final punishment for the wicked. And from there will never be something like punishment, and there will never be the existence of iniquity. So this is the final punishment, and this is where sin and its originator ends.
Beautiful stuff. I'm going to leave you alone, Mark German. But before that, is there one thing, just one thing, that you'd like to emphasize with the listeners?
Yeah, the thought that people will burn in hell should not frighten us, provided we are with Christ. I remember some months ago, should be last year, we had a discussion to say how to, face the judgment unafraid. And we discussed that the only way to be courageous, to have that boldness of facing the judgment, is to have Christ. So those who are today listening to the Holy Spirit's call, those who are responding to God's call, those who are trying to do everything God has placed upon them on this earth, will be safe from this punishment. And the only way we can do that is to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That's why in John 3:16, we read, for God so loved the world. He loved the world. He does not want us to perish. He has loved the world by giving us his only begotten Son. And the only way, the only task we can take is to believe in him. How do we believe in him? By doing everything according to his word. So the thought that God will burn the sinners, there is hell at the end of this world, God will make sure that whoever is found with a sin burns, he is brought to ashes, utterly, should not frighten us. Rather, we should be carried in the thought that by creating a relationship, a special relationship with God, will keep us safe. So this is the right time to receive and accept Jesus as the sacrificial lamb for our iniquities.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Mark German, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fantastic one. I do hope that you will have a great afternoon. And thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, eh?
Thank you, my brother.
Lovely blessings to you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.